As always, even though we are under the Two Generations Gaming banner, this is one guy reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to Dragons of Fate, the second volume in the Dragonlance Destiny series by Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman. I told you that I'd probably be able to stick to this Wednesday-Saturday schedule a little bit better, so that's what we're going to be doing going forward. In this episode, I'm going to be giving a summary of chapters 18, 19, and 20, which are the beginning of book 2 of this particular volume. That's why I'm using the word volume instead of book, is because the books themselves are further split into books. I think that the first one had 3. This one, I think, only has 2. I haven't been able to find a book 3. I actually went through and I planned the rest of these. I think I'm going to be done by the first week in October, so then I'll do Jurassic Park after that. But I think this one only has 2 books, was the whole point of that little diatribe there. Episode 7, Chapter 18. The start of Book 2 brings us to the future, present, with Justerius and Dalimar. Unable to sit by while the others go gallivanting through history and possibly change the entire course of that history, they visit Bertold to try to find Alice Raniker. Bertold seems nervous that A, they inquired, and B, he might need to accompany them to her house. Weiss and Hickman explain that the city of Solanthas is an old city. Furthermore, unlike Palanthas, it grew organically and holds to its agricultural roots. As a result, they proudly feed to the whole nation, and visitors find themselves lost in the labyrinth of the city's structure. The mages deem the safest mode of travel as porting. When they arrive in Bertold's house, he's finishing his morning tea. He asks if they've come to have her take the test. No. He seems utterly relieved by that development. He says she's a shit wizard, but a great mechanic. This piques their interest. They ask him for directions to her place. When he inquires further, they shut him down. He both gives them directions and escorts them to the end of her road. The two mages walk until they start to believe that he lied to them. Then, as they think about giving up, they happen upon the cottage that he described. A mechanical well feeds water into a trough, then feeds that water into the forge out behind the house. Smoke and soot fly through the air and stain Justerius's red robes. He remarks how lucky Dalimar is that his are already black. Realizing they cannot make their presence known over the hammering coming from the forge, they simply walk inside. A woman built like a smith wearing a helm looks at them through the thick glass of that helm. Alice Raniker. Wearing attire common among smiths, she stops hammering and drops the hot metal into a barrel of water. Steam hisses, and then she places the metal piece off to the side. Taking the helm off, she introduces herself. Alice Raniker, indeed. And who exactly are they? When they return the introductions, she gets excited and invites them in. After cleaning herself up and changing, she asks if they've come to ask her to take the test. Sadly, no, but they have a more important mission for her. He shows her the velvet bag. Excited again, she takes them to her workshop slash laboratory. They see a spit roasting a chicken, and she invites them to dinner. They politely decline. Okay, make yourselves at home. What you got? She clears a workspace on the table by just shoving everything onto the floor. Dalimar dumps the pieces of the device onto the table. After examining a few pieces, she excuses herself and comes back with a book. Her ancestor's Book of Artifacts. She opens the book and flips until she finds the page she's searching for, the device of time journeying. She confirms that she knows by telling them some history of the device and then chastises them for the sorry condition that they brought it to her in. Justerius bristles. Dalimar keeps the peace. A dog is barking in the distance here. We know you can't build one, but can you repair this one? She fiddles with it and confirms that it's been broken before and repaired by a gnome. Can she fix it? No. Missing too many pieces, and the magic's gone besides. Well, shit. They prepare to leave. Don't be so hasty. Maybe I can use what's left, build a new one, and reduce the magic. You can do that? Sure. Plus, I can make it better this time. Easier to use. More people to be able to use it. This sounds too good to be true. She's a shit mage, remember? Well, yeah. I can't cast the spells. But when I sit here and build something... Ooh boy, that magic happens. All of this around you has magic. The well, the bellows, the lights, the chicken spit, All magic. All hers. Okay, how long? Time is of the essence. This unintended pun gets a chuckle from her. Just leave this stuff. I'll get the new one to you in 5 days tops. Justarius is hesitant to leave the parts. What's the point of keeping them? It's useless. But rare, he argues. But useless. Okay, fine. What do we owe you? Simply pay for the parts and a trip to the tower. Dalimar initially says no, but Justarius convinces him. Great! Raistlin's her favorite, and she wants to see the grove. Also, the life Raistlin created. Parenthetical and editorial. Fuck that nightmare fuel. And parenthetical. But alas, Dalimar says, those sorry creatures are gone. Thank God, I say. They leave and debrief. You think she can build it? No idea, but we have no other option. Now, to convince Cairn to use the device to go back to save and bring them all back. Dalimar will handle that and meet Justarius at Alice's in 5 days. Chapter 19. When Dalimar returns to his tower, he is surprised to see Bertram waiting for him. He chastises his apprentices for not offering him food and comfort. They say they did, but he declined. Bertram quickly interjects to say that Astinus is expecting him. Dalimar wishes that he was able to make himself more presentable, but understands the urgency. They travel to the library and through the private entrance. Bertram takes him to the office, announces his arrival, and then leaves. Without looking up, Astinus points to a chair in the corner. Dalimar takes the seat and, true to his elven nature, waits. While he does, he tries to read the words that Astinus writes upside down. Upon reaching the end of the page, Astinus puts it off to the side. He then asks Dalimar about his faith and Alice repairing the device. Dalimar admits that he can only hope. Astinus then moves on to discuss Dalimar's hope to talk to Cairn if she does in fact succeed. Dalimar replies that Cairn is the obvious choice. He's already traveled through time and is an expert in the time that they are stuck in. Astinus agrees and further makes the point that Cairn will be eager to help for a couple of reasons. One, he feels mostly at fault. Two, he seems to have feelings for Destina. Dalimar hopes that won't complicate things. Astinus is aghast at the suggestion. Dalimar apologizes. Bertram interrupts and says that he summoned Brother Cairn. Dalimar teases him about eavesdropping. Bertram has no sense of humor about it. As they walk, Dalimar asks for information about Cairn. Bertram states that he does not gossip. Oh, for fuck's sake, Dalimar says. Tell me if he's qualified for what we are asking of him. Bertram gives him his bona fides. Dalimar seems satisfied. When they get to the common room, Dalimar is relieved to see that nobody else is there. He sits and waits while Bertram gets Cairn. They return quickly, and Dalimar figures Cairn got a heads up on his arrival because they got there so quickly. Cairn sits. He cuts to the chase. Any luck repairing the device? Dalimar cuts back and asks him first if he's willing to help. Cairn says yes, of course. Dalimar tells him about Alice and her attempt to repair it. Dalimar warns of the Grey Gem. When Cairn says he knows it's involved, Dalimar further explains of Rourke's attempt to get the gem in the crack. That means it's even worse than those other than the gods know. Cairn's knowledge of history will definitely come in handy. If they fail, oh boy, look out. Shit will hit the fan, like a lot of shit. Get ready. They go to meet Alice in 5 days. The three meet at the end of the road that leads to Alice's house once again. Cairn assures them by telling them that he packed a set of clothes that will allow him to blend in. He also confirms that he brought no books. They make their way to Alice's. She excitedly greets them and invites them to join her in the laboratory. They go back to meet her. Something rests on the table under a towel. She makes a quip about them bringing a monk to pray for her. Dalimar introduces him and explains. Well, Justarius waits no more time. Were you successful? Of course, she exclaims and gathers him around the table. She takes off the towel and shows a globe of silver with inlaid gold and patterned jewels. Viola, the device! Dalimar seems impressed. Justarius is aghast that she melted the old one. Alice reminds him there was just a hunk of metal ready to be forged. She offers him some leftover parts she's got lying around, probably in the dustbin. Dalimar intervenes. So how does it work? Much simpler. No gears or chains. Still needs a poem to prevent unauthorized use. When Karen mentions the jewels, she explains constellations of the gods and the three moons of magic. Dalmar reaches to touch it. Alice chastises him. Remember, it's gauche for mages to covet other mages' things. So he rightfully apologizes. She wants to do one more test with them in attendance. She holds the device, recites the poem, and vanishes. Nothing to do but wait. The clock strikes the hour. She returns. Did it work? She both confirms and shows them a book that she brought back from the past. She explains that she went back to visit her ancestor, Raniker. He told her about the clock. They explain that they know of it, but it was destroyed. Pity, she says, and presents the book to Justarius. Raniker's Book of Artifacts. An older edition, but no less valuable. He thanks her, and she tells them that she no longer needs them. All she needs is to show Karen how to use the device. They want to stay, parenthetically, while Justarius does. Dalmar suggests just staying to get the instructions, and parenthetical. And she offers them leftover stew. She explains to Karen, you need to state when and where you want to go as explicitly as possible. Then you recite the poem, and away you go. Karen compliments her. She thanks him and explains some other features. It will still return to the user, and she gives him what Justarius thinks is a magic elixir to repair it. Now it's just glue. He can bring everyone back as long as they're alive. Do not split the party, she warns. Dalmar follows up with a question about the influence of the Grey Gem. They look up the entry on the Grey Gem. Alice chuckles nervously. Never mind. All bets are off. Just get who you can and get back as soon as possible. Justarius and Dalmar leave, tentatively optimistic that they can pull this off with minimal damage done. But honestly, who the hell knows? Chapter 20. We both go back to the time of the Third Dragon War and when Justarius and Raistlin are still on their mission. Destina considers visiting Taz to see if he knows where they went or if he's seen them, but ends up falling asleep instead. She dreams of Karen, but he disappears when she tries to take his hand. She goes to get news. Only Will is at the table. Asking after Raistlin and Magius, Will says he hasn't seen them. She asks him to keep her updated and goes to the top of the Night Spur. Commander Belgrave joins her. He explains the layout of the enemy camps, also explaining that Immolatus lives among them as a human during the day to keep an eye on things. She asks again when the attack will come. Again, he says, once Tachesis decides. He then tells her to tell the wizards to get them all the F out. She promises to talk to them. He tries to BDE her with, quote, that's an order, and then leaves. She hears someone else coming up the stairs. He speaks familiarly with her before introducing himself as Tully, because she doesn't recognize him. When he smiles, she feels uneasy. He confirms that unease by trying to grab the Grey Gem from her. It flashes, he swears, and then runs. Will then joins her, saying that Titus wants to speak with her. She asks after Sturm. Will insists and takes her to his office. She sees another man wearing gray robes in the room. Who's this? I was hoping you could tell me, Titus says. He tells me his name is Karen, and he comes from the Great Library, and that he knows her. She staggers and tries to balance herself. She assumes that this is just another dream. He assures her that he is real, apologizes for startling her, and she hugs him. When she tells Titus that he's telling the truth, Titus removes the shackles. He thinks everybody's a fucking spy. Paranoid D-bag. Anyway, sorry about that editorial. Titus orders them to sit and tries to get the truth. Someone interrupts with news of Taz escaping. Titus shrugs. Whatever, he figured it was going to happen eventually. Karen insists that they need to find the Kender. Destina says that Taz talked about visiting the gnomes. Taz asks why. She lies. Titus says he has no men to spare and suggests they try the wizards. Nope, gone as well. Titus absolutely loses his shit. He leaves with Will to try to calm down and figure things out. When he leaves, Destina explains that Raistlin and Magius went to find the device. Karen explains that he has one and explains how that all happened. When he asks about Taz and the gnomes, Destina tells him of the legend of the Dragonlances. She explains that they don't know about the Dragonlances yet, and Karen realizes that's probably why the pages are blank back in his time. He asks about the Grey Gem. She mentions Tully, explains who he is, how he knows, and also some of the other people that know. They move on to other topics, and he asks about Gwyneth. During that part of the conversation, they hear a noise. She suspects it's Tully. They don't hear the noise again, and she explains that Gwyneth is gone. Karen despairs again. None of this is good, but the gods will save them. Will they? Destina is rapidly losing hope. And now for my reaction. New characters. The only actual new character is Alice. I love her. Remember when I said at the beginning of the book that one of the reasons I liked Dragonlance is because it feels so alive. Such deep and rich supporting characters adds to that. Her mad scientist tendencies and the resulting ability to construct artifacts as a wild mage provide the perfect chaotic good counterpart to the potential evil unleashed by the Grey Gem. At first I thought her flightiness might manifest as insanity, and that when she remade the device, it would just take her somewhere, parenthetically, not some time, else, and they'd be back at the drawing board. Ultimately, because I like her so much, I love that she turned out to be legit. Two returning characters, too. Tali ends up being the rotten piece of shit I thought he was from the beginning. In addition, for some reason, I don't mind the budding romance between Karen and Destina. I suppose that I don't have a problem with romance in these books, just certain romances. Great. Something else to keep my brain occupied until I can figure it out. What did I like least? As this story progresses, I find it more and more difficult to find things I don't like. The only thing I can come up with this time is the initial setup when I thought that Alice would end up as a con, or, at least, just so far gone that her device ends up being a dud. But she convinced herself that she went back in time, and then tries to convince them. I liked her character so much that it made me extremely uneasy at the prospect of her being a disappointment. So bravo to Weiss and Hickman for keeping me in suspense. But while I was in it, I worried the whole time what might go wrong. Also, and I don't know why I didn't lead with this, but I hate Tali. I know he's a villain and we're supposed to hate him, but more than that, I just wish he didn't exist. Right now, he adds nothing to the plot other than being an absolute piece of shit, like I said earlier. Maybe he plays a bigger role later and at least brings something to the plot. Or, alternatively, he could just go away. What do I like best? At the risk of oversimplifying, literally everything else. I already spoke several times that I like the pacing of the story. In these chapters, they waste no time. Even the construction of the device went quickly and smoothly. They easily could have dragged it out a bit like they did with the siege, but no. 5 days later, they get the device. No problems or delays with the construction. Just a new device, and it works. Perfect. Maybe they already decided there's enough crap to go wrong. No reason to add more here. We get some of the friendship of Justarius and Dalimar while they work to put their plan together. Wonderful new character, and Alice. I want more of her story. What about her apprenticeship? Did she have to journey for the spells that she used in her artifacts? I feel like there's plenty there. Maybe I'll write something. I've dabbled in fan fiction before, as you know. Karen comes back. Initially, I hated his sad sack routine, but he quickly turns it around by throwing himself into the mission with his research. Then he gets back in time and immediately gets to work. Justarius and Dalimar chose wisely with that one. No stupid gnomes. Heck, I even enjoyed Titus's little breakdowns this time. He's realizing that in the grand scheme of things, he has no hope of keeping this under control. Like the giant dumb man-baby he is, he throws epic tantrums. And they mean nothing. Impotent rage as a response rarely accomplishes anything other than a total loss of respect, and I never respected the guy to begin with, so I just kind of laugh at how pathetic he is right now. So, unlike the last chapters, where I heavily skimmed during my reread, I gladly read these ones again. Book 2 starts off strong. I can't wait to see what happens next. Alas, we have to wait until Wednesday, though. Join me then. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, a link to our socials, including our YouTube, which actually finally has more than just the daily RPG calendar. It has a couple of Magic the Gathering gameplay videos. It has a quick video of the Street Fighter 6 demo that I made for the article I wrote about that. I'm planning on putting up another Magic the Gathering video tomorrow because I already recorded the weekend for the calendar on Friday. So keep an eye out for that one. We also have another podcast that we started. We did the reboot to the reboot of Two Guys Gaming. The way we recorded didn't work out so well, but I'm looking for a way to make it better next time. So the sound quality is extremely uneven. I apologize for that, but I promise you next time in October when we do our spooky episode, it will be much better. I will be back with episode 8 of this series on Wednesday. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are Two Guys Gaming.